Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Somebody say, the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Aren't you grateful? Hallelujah. This life that He's given us, an abundant life, an awesome life, a life that's just too good to waste. We don't want to waste this life that God has given us. And like we've been talking about, life is made up of time. Our life in this world is made up of time. How we spend our time is how we spend our life. So we don't want to waste any of our time that we have right now on planet Earth. We don't want to waste our time because of this incredible life that God has given us, you know. Before knowing the Lord, there were plenty of reasons why you'd want to go run and hide. Hide from your responsibilities, hide from the pressures of life, hide from tough times, potential tough times. But now, there's no more hiding. We want to get out there and we want to enjoy every second of every moment of our life in God, this life of God that's been given to us. We want to seize the moment because life is good in God. I said life is good in God. And every moment of it is just too precious to waste on idleness, to waste on being in the flesh. We don't want to live our life according to the flesh, according to the dictates and desires of the flesh and the carnal mind. We don't want to live our lives as slaves to other people and their opinions of us. We don't want our joy to be based on what's going on in somebody else's head, right? No, we want to live our life in the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. That's living it up. Living it up. Living the high life. The God kind of life is the high life. And that's the kind of life you and I are called to live. Now, the life in the flesh, man, it has its ups and downs. It's up and down. It's inconsistent. You never know what tomorrow's going to hold. You don't know what 5 minutes from now is going to hold for you in the flesh. The flesh is fickle. The flesh is impatient. The flesh gets very uncomfortable very quickly. It gets bored. It gets tired. It gets offended. The flesh has all kinds of issues. That's why we don't want to live our life there anymore. No, that's wasting the life of God. That's wasting your time, the time that you have now in God. You don't want to waste it. You don't want to find yourself doing things in the flesh. You know, I think of the Apostle John. And here he was, he was banned to this island where prisoners were. And he was locked up there. But even while he was locked up in a dungeon on this island as a prisoner, man, he was living life to the full. He was living life a whole lot better and a whole lot more fuller than people that were free. In the natural, in the physical. He was in that place, tuned in to God, tuned in to God's presence. And I mean, there he is, and God visits with him, and he ends up writing the book of Revelation. And it's just full of visions of heaven and incredible experiences. I mean, he's seeing things in the past, he's seeing things in the present, according to the Spirit. He's seeing things yet to come in the future. I mean, he's having the time of his life. And yet physically, he's in a prison. He's a prisoner. He's not supposed to be enjoying life. But yet he is. Why? Because God is in the cell with him. I said, God's in the cell with him. God's in that place with him, visiting with him. I think of Moses out there in a wilderness, a desert, really. He's out there in a desert. I mean, they just came out of Egypt. God was desiring to lead them into a land flowing with milk and honey, into this really wonderful promised land according to the natural. And the children of Israel, they murmured, they complained about their conditions out there in the desert. They were thirsty, they were tired, they were irritable. I mean, they were frustrated. They were happy 1 second, a couple of days later, they're murmuring, they're complaining, they're in strife. Moses was in the same exact place they were. He was out there in the same desert that all the children of Israel in. And all those Israelites, they were miserable, but not Moses. Moses in the desert would go into the presence of God, and he would be found in the presence of God, and God would come down and the cloud would surround him, and he would speak with God. God would speak with him, and he was just experiencing life to the full. He experienced life to the full in a desert. And the children of Israel had the same opportunity, but they didn't take advantage of it. They wasted their time. They wasted their life in that desert, focused on earthly, natural, fleshy things. They are out there in that place, focused on all these natural things, and they missed the whole thing. They missed what God was doing. They missed what was available to them for them to be able to enter into and experience in God. And Moses, man, he just got more and more hungry and thirsty for God and what he was experiencing. You know, the things of God never get old. They never wear out. The things of the Spirit are renewed. They're renewed day by day by day by day. With God, it's always getting better. I said, with God, it's always getting better. Now, the world is passing away. The things of the world are fading away. The things of this world are dying out. And those who set their mind on it are also. Those who set their mind on the things of the flesh, they also are fading away. Their lives are wearing out. Their lives are wearing down. But those who wait upon the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord are renewing their strength. Come on. They're renewing their strength. They're mounting up with wings like eagles. They're running and they're not growing weary. They're just getting more and more excited about running even faster. They're not looking to take a vacation. Not looking to go hide somewhere and lie down. They're looking to run. They're looking to run this race that God has invited them to run. This race for life. The God kind of life, to lay hold of more of Him, to lay hold of more of this awesomeness of the Almighty. That's what we're running for. That's our prize. That's what we're reaching for. That's the goal, to be transformed into His image and to His likeness. Like the psalmist said, he said, I will not be satisfied until I awake in your likeness. Because that's how we were created to be. Think about that. You were created to be in the very likeness and image of Almighty, wonderful, awesome, holy, powerful God. You were created in His image and in His likeness. And now through Jesus Christ, we got access back into that very thing. Back into that likeness. Back into that life of God. So what are we doing? We're running. We're going after it. It's already been given to us. Now, bless God, let's take off. Let's get more of it. Let's utilize it. Let's put it to work in our life. Let's save lives with it. Let's spread the love around. Let's spread the righteousness around. Let's spread the goodness of God around. Let's get the whole earth full of His glory. Let's get the whole earth full of His glory. Come on. That's what we're going after. And we're fired up about it. We're excited about it. We're stretching, we're working out, we're preparing ourselves, we're training ourselves to lay hold of more and more of the life of God and not be caught walking around in the flesh, wasting this time that we have, this precious time we have. I don't care if your life looks like a desert. I don't care if your spouse looks like a cactus. It don't matter. You try to give her a little kiss and, oh,
You thought you were coming home to get a hug, and then you thought, I don't want one. Because you got yourself a cactus instead of a kiss. It don't matter. Even in the desert, it don't matter. Praise God, you can retreat into the presence of God. You can retreat into the love of God. You can let God embrace you and wrap himself around you. You can allow him to pour so much goodness on you that you overflow with him, so it don't matter what you get around. They tell me there's even water in cactuses. Hallelujah, there's something good in a cactus. And you can be so full of God that you can even transform your situation around you into an oasis. Right? Glory to God, you'll get the water out of it. Whatever water's there, you'll get the water out of it. You'll get the good, you'll get whatever is good in them out of them when you're walking in the goodness of God. When you're not moved by what you see, you're not moved by what you feel. Because you walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, we're looking to live it up. We've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And now we just want to live life to the full. We want to get all we can get while the getting's good. And friend, I got news for you. The getting's good in God. I said the getting's good in God. And the world, they can't wait for the weekend. They just can't wait to get away from their job, get away from people, get away from their boss, get away from their responsibilities, get away from what? Life! The life that they live every day. They want to get away from it all. And then they just want to let go and have some fun. But their letting go is just a giving in to the flesh. Just catering to the flesh. And friend, at the end of the day, you'll find yourself more exhausted. Giving in to the flesh. Just watching whatever you want to watch on TV. Blabbing at the mouth, saying whatever you want to say, saying everything that you feel, just letting it all go, just letting the flesh just go. Just speak whatever you want to speak, do whatever you want to do in the flesh. You'll find yourself more worn out at the end of the day, more empty, more drained of life, more drained of power. That's not the answer. Even in resting, you and I are renewing our strength. And so we're not going to be lazy and lethargic. That's walking in the flesh. Isaiah 30, verse 15. It says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." Even in just lying down and resting, even in relaxing, taking it easy, we are looking to renew our strength to run faster and harder than we ever have before. We're not looking to just escape life. We're looking to live it up. Can you say amen? Over to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Love this scripture. Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter. It says in verse 17, "Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles, and your princes feast at the proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness." Even in feasting, even in celebrating, even in having a party, what's the purpose? To be strengthened, to strengthen, to be able to do more, to accomplish more, to have more, to possess more of this life of God, to lay hold on more of the plan of God for our life. See, we're not just looking to cater to the flesh. And those next verse here, verse 18, it says, "Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. A feast is made for laughter." Hallelujah. A feast is made for laughter. Well, that sounds like joy. Bible says laughter does good like medicine. Laughter is good for you. Laughter will provide medicine for your body, medicine for your soul. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. So we're not just letting go. No, we're renewing our strength. We're strengthening ourselves, just like those eagles. We're renewing our strength. The CEB translation.
I'm just going to read the latter part of it. It says, whose princes feast at the right time for energy and not for drunkenness. Not for drunk. That word drunkenness also can be translated carousing. Carousing. But we feast at the right time for energy. This is a time to feast. This is a time to party. This is times of R&R, times to get away, go on vacation, do things for your body, for your soul. But we do it at the right time. That's not what we're living for. We're not living to party. That's how the world lives. Everything's about the party. Everybody's working for the weekend. That's a song that I remember when I was younger. Everybody's working for the weekend. What do you mean? To go party. To go out there and have fun. Isn't that sad? Your whole life is, you mean everything you're doing all week long is nothing? It's worthless? It's just so you can get to the weekend and go out and have a beer and hang out with some friends and do whatever and just be fleshy? Isn't that sad? I can't understand why any Christian would ever want to go back to that. Anyone that came out of that, why would you ever want to go back to that? Why would any Christian look longingly over into the world and into all that muck and mire and even think for one second that it would be better to go back over into that mess? That's a mess. That's a lot of wasted time. Those are lives that are being wasted. They were created for so much better, for so much more. You and I aren't looking back. No, man, we're too focused on what's ahead. We're too intense about where we're going. Man, we're excited. We've tasted, seen. We're moving forward. And we just want to go faster. We want to run as far from that and as fast as we can. From that old life. From the ways of this world. From living life in the flesh. We're running for the real life. That life that is only in God. Which is where we were created to be. So we feast at the right time for energy. Energy, not for carousing. CJB translation. Your princes eat at the proper time in order to stay strong, not to get drunk. The DRA translation. Whose princes eat in due season for refreshment and not for riotness. Refreshment. Praise God. We get refreshed. Again, a feast is made for laughter. When we get together, it's to have a feast, it's to have a party, it's to be a time of refreshing. It's not to fight with the in-laws. Right? A lot of times people get together and they have their Thanksgiving feast with family and things, and they're dreading it. They're dreading it. They got to be around Alfred and Agnes. Alfred and Agnes are coming over, and they're dreading it. I can't believe we got to do this. We got to entertain Alfred and Agnes. What a terrible way to live your life. That you're in bondage to Alfred and Agnes. Whoever your Alfred and Agnes might be. You're not to be in bondage to anybody. If you're not going to have some laughs and have a good time, if it's not going to help strengthen you in your faith and in your pursuit of the purpose and plan of God for your life, forget about it. Forget about it. Just do it if it's the right thing to do. If it's going to help you to accomplish your ultimate goal, which is to lay hold of more of the life of God. So even in feasting and having fun, we are strengthening and fortifying ourselves. But this is not the way it is with the world. Notice over in 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 2. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So he's talking about their suffering in the flesh, disciplining your body. We're not trying to let our body go free and run rampant. That's not what we're looking to do. We are looking to discipline our body. So we might have to suffer a little bit in the flesh in order to lay hold of that abundant life of God. He says in verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Again, we're not living for the lust of men, but for the will of God. What are you living for? The will of God. And what a will he's got for our life. What a will he's got for your life. Man, I'm so glad I'm not trying to do my own will. God's will is so much superior, so much better, so much greater. That's what we're going to walk in. We're going to walk and do the will of God and not live for the lust of the flesh. Verse 3, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles or the heathen or the unsaved. When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, rivalries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. So notice, this describes again the world and how they think and how they live and what their focus is on. Their focus is all on the flesh. It's a waste of time. I'm going to keep reiterating it. It's a waste of time. To live your life according to the flesh, for the lusts of the flesh, is a waste of time. Because the life of the Spirit is where it's at. That's how you live life to the full, is you lay hold of more and more of the Holy Spirit, and we live as Spirit-filled Christians. Now, just because you spoke in tongues or speak in tongues, that doesn't mean you're Spirit-filled. It means that you were filled, but it doesn't mean you are filled, because you don't have to remain filled with the Spirit to speak in tongues. You initially get speaking in tongues by being filled with the Spirit. Now, you got to maintain being filled, even though you can continue to speak in tongues. See, a lot of people think, well, I speak in tongues, I'm Spirit-filled. That don't mean you're Spirit-filled. You could be dried up speaking in tongues. You could be completely dried up, not filled up at all. Now, we're to live a Spirit-filled life. And you think about the first time you got Spirit-filled and started speaking in tongues. Think back to the first time you started speaking in tongues. Think of the passion. Think of the fire. Think of the excitement. Think of the faith. Think of the energy. Think of all that was that surrounded that, the zeal, the joy. Everything. Everybody's had different experiences, but you had that. If you speak in tongues, you know what I'm talking about. But do you have that all the time now when you're speaking in tongues? See, a lot of times, no. A lot of times now, it's just we're just doing it out of duty. We just do it to do it, and thank God we can. But you need to stay in there and keep speaking until you find yourself filled. Till you find yourself filled and overflowing. Hallelujah. Overflowing. And that joy and that passion and that excitement. I got news for you. God has not gotten any less exciting since you got Spirit filled. I got news for you. He hasn't gotten any less exciting. He's still exciting. And if you've lost that excitement, you've drifted from him. And that's natural for the flesh because, again, the course of this world is always away from God. There's a current that's always pulling us away from him, pulling us towards the flesh, pulling us towards the flesh. So that's normal. We're going to feel that, but we got to resist that. And we got to run against that current, run into that Spirit-filled life and keep ourselves passionate and excited and pumped up because there's so much more than what we've ever experienced before. God wants to bring us into the more. He wants us living in a continual state of revival. Huh? Where we're just revived, we're excited. You think about a revival, you know, you hear about some of these great revivals that took place in past times. And how, you know, they would just go for people would meet at church every day and people just couldn't wait to get in and they'd line up around the block and people were just excited. And when you got in there, there was such energy and people were just pumped up and praise and worship could go on for an hour and nobody had any problem with it. People weren't thinking about their flesh. They didn't care about their flesh. They just wanted more, just wanted more. They were crying out, more, 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 God, give me more. I want to experience more of you. God wants that to be the way it is for you every day. He wants you to get a hold of this, and he wants you to keep getting higher and higher and higher on the Most High.
He wants you to get more and more filled and more intoxicated with him. That's the goal, folks. That's the goal.
Now notice in this scripture, in verse 3, for we have spent enough of our past time in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, rivalries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, verse 4, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Notice that they run as well. They run to gratify the flesh. But notice their running is likened to a flood. A flood of dissipation. What is a flood? A flood is violent rushing water. It's water that's violently rushing in and overflowing all its bank, and it just breeds chaos. That's what a flood does. And notice it's rushing. It's violent rushing water. Again, as we talked about, we're running, but our running isn't rushing. We're not rushing around in a panic. Because we're talking about rushing. We're talking about being anxious, worrying, in a panic. Now, the devil is likened to the god of this world. And the Bible says that he's in a panic because he knows his time is short. And he comes in like a flood. He is coming in like a flood, and all those that yield to him are like a flood. They are rushing through life, rushing and running, trying to gratify their flesh, trying to satisfy their flesh. And they're living their lives in anxiety and greediness. And the word for greediness in the Greek can also be translated frantic searching. They are frantically searching to find fulfillment in this world. And they run around, but it's a rushing around with a greediness, in a frantic searching to gratify their flesh. But that's not you and I. You and I are running self-controlled, disciplined, focused on the prize, which is eternal life. Unceasing, absolute fullness of life, to lay hold of more of that life in this life, right here, right now. Praise God. It's not, oh, when we get to heaven. So many Christians have that idea. Well, when we get to heaven, then we'll experience that life, that eternal life. But for now, we'll just lie on the sofa of the flesh and watch the time go past. No. That's not how we're supposed to be. A lot of Christians are in that mode. If you don't watch, it'll get on you. We got to shake ourselves from that. Say, no, I'm not going to be running around like a flood, rushing around, trying to gratify my flesh, rushing around like a chicken with its head cut off, right? Racing down the road like a speed demon, out of anxiety, out of pressure, out of fear, out of panic. That's not us, but yet we are running. We are running after the glory of God. That word dissipation means the squandering of money, energy, or resources. The loss of energy. They just burn their energy, rushing around trying to gratify the flesh. That's why when they have their fun, at the end of the day, they have less energy. But you and I, when we have fun, we have more energy. Because everything we're doing in the Spirit, which is renewing our strength, which is renewing us, strengthening us. They burn their energy to have fun. We have fun to build energy to run. Can you say amen? Our running isn't rushing around under pressure in a panic, but to reach for and lay hold of the prize. Can you say amen? Somebody say, I want to run. Well, how can we run? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 and get some tips on how we can run better. Not waste a single moment of our life. It's too good to waste. Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Love this scripture. He's letting us know here that there's a great cloud of witnesses that are watching over us. Who's it talking about? It's talking about those who have gone before us. Does anybody have any loved ones that they know were saved and have gone on before you into heaven? We got some people up there. I don't know how they may have lived their life. They might have lived their life as a so-so Christian, a carnal Christian, whatever. And thank God they made heaven. Praise the Lord. They squeaked their way in there. Well, we're thankful for that they're in there. But I can tell you right now what they're thinking when they think about you. When they look down there at you, they're yelling, run! Run! Come on, pick up the pace. If I can do my life over, if I could come back down there and do my life over, oh, the things that they would do differently, right? The things you can imagine they would do differently. They would live life with such greater purpose. Because now they have such a greater reality of heaven and what life's all about and the opportunity that we have in this short little sliver of time here on the earth. We'll never have another time like this ever again throughout all eternity. Once we get over onto the other side and our bodies are glorified and we see the holy angels and we see God in all his fullness, we will never have another opportunity to walk under these kind of circumstances ever again. Once that devil is cast into the lake of fire, it's over. There's no getting them back. Right? Once he's gone, all the trials and tests, all the opportunities to glorify God and to grow spiritually, huh? All the opportunities to have exercised our faith to such high levels, those opportunities will be over. The devil will be gone. We've got an opportunity here to grow spiritually and go even beyond the angels. Because the angels never had opportunity like this. To live a life purely by faith where you can't see God. You can't feel God a lot of times. But you feel the darkness. You feel the bitterness. You feel the unloveliness. You see all the threats constantly in your face all the time talking to you, but yet you get up and you shout, it's Jubilee, right? Every morning's Jubilee. And you get up and you go out there to get back everything the devil's stolen from you and to grow spiritually like you've never grown before. Friend, those in heaven are rooting us on. They're watching. They're excited about you. Don't let them look down there and see you just lying around spiritually. And your flesh just a-going. Your flesh is just a-going. Your flesh is just a-going and doing and saying what it wants to say. Having what it wants to have. Living life for the party. Living to gratify itself. Don't let them look down and see that. Friend, we got a cloud of witnesses watching, looking, wanting us to rise up and run this race better than they did. And we should. We should be able to, because we have more than they had. We have much more than they had. So let's do it. Right? So when we get to heaven, praise God, the ribbon snaps. And the confetti starts falling. Right? And it's nice confetti. It's silver and gold. Silver and gold confetti. It's the glory of God. It's just coming down all over you. And you got this grand entry into heaven. Right? And you're just waiting for the morning when you get up and you hear the trumpet.
Walter, come to the throne.
And you're not afraid. You're excited. But you're not afraid because you know, man, you got a good report. You're going to get your crown. Going to get your crown, man. And you go into that throne room to get your crown, and there's the Lord Jesus, and you receive your rewards in heaven. Oh, man. I'm just painting the picture for you that this is reality. We can't be dull to this. We got to know this is reality. Before you know it, we're there. And we'll go there when we're ready to go there too. Because we got work to do. I said, we got work to do. We got a race to run. There's things to accomplish. And when you got purpose and you got vision, it's going to be very hard for the devil to take you out. But if you don't have much purpose and vision, you're just kind of like, yeah, I don't know. You're just kind of wandering through life. You become an easier target for the enemy. Passion will keep you walking in life and keep you resisting death, resisting everything that's of the devil. Do you have a passion for life? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. So he says, lay aside every weight and the sin. Don't let these things continue in your life that are keeping you from walking in the life of God. And you know what they are. There's things. And some of it's not sin. Some of it's just, it's weights. It's stuff. It's just stuff in your life. It's a distraction. It's a drain. And it could be any number of things. May the Lord be searching your hearts right now to find out what those things might be. What are some of those weights? What are those things that are slowing you down, that are bogging you down? Let's lay those things aside. Somebody say, yeah, it's Margaret. She's weighing me down. You know, we always got to go back to Margaret. It's amazing. God always brings us back to her. But somebody says, yeah, it's Margaret. She's weighing me down. No, it's your worry of Margaret that's weighing it down. It's your fear of Margaret that's weighing you down. It's you carrying the cares of Margaret that's weighing you down. It's you feeling like you have to make Margaret happy instead of God. That's a weight. Lay that aside. Lay aside the weight. Lay aside the worry. Lay aside all the stuff that you try to do to make everybody else happy and focus in on making God happy. Focus in on following him, knowing him, pleasing him, having him. And then he'll take care of Margaret. He'll take care of Mark. He'll take care of whoever needs to be taken care of. Do you believe that? Yes. Yes, he will. Thank God he will. So notice he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Well, Pastor, I'm working on it. I mean, I'm trying. Well, that means you haven't done it yet. Lay it aside. So how do you do it? Well, first of all, confess it as sin. Don't make excuses for it. Confess it as sin and then resist it and do whatever you have to do to resist it, to keep yourself from going back into it. And that's where fasting comes in. Sometimes you got to fast and do some extra things to get control of your flesh in an area. If something's dominating you and controlling you, you got to do whatever it takes to overcome it. Just like a runner, just like an athlete would. And they do it for what? To win the praises of men? To win a sporting event? And say, we did it, we won, this feels great, until next season? Then it's gone. And they'll discipline their body. They'll do everything. They'll suffer in the flesh. Do whatever it takes to have it. How much more you and I to be able to lay hold of this God kind of life that has been given to us. Can you say amen? So let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It says verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. So lay aside the weight and the sin. Get your eyes on Jesus and endure. Be patient when you're going through a trial and a test. It's not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever. You just got to remind yourself, you're going through a test, it's just like a bad, stormy day, you know. How many people know, you know, there's days where all of a sudden it gets dark and cloudy out there, and it's raining, and it's just coming down, and the trees are bending because of the wind, and I mean, it's nasty. It's just a torrent. And yet you know, you're not even wondering, is this ever going to stop? Is it ever going to stop? You know it's going to stop. You don't know when, but you know it's gonna. And sometimes it might last for a few days. You might have a bad week. But you know it will be sunny again. Right? No matter how bad the weather is, you know there's good days ahead. Same thing spiritually. Come on. Same thing spiritually. We're going through a stormy time. We're going through a crisis. We're going through a test. Okay. I got my eyes on Jesus. I got my eyes on Jesus by faith. I see him through the clouds by faith. I know he's on the other side. I know he's with me in this storm, and he's on the other side of this thing. I'm just going to keep moving forward with God and be patient and just keep moving forward with God. Keep moving forward with God. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, another trial and test will be behind you. And you will have learned, right? And you will have grown. And then you can look back and laugh at the devil and make him regret that he ever messed with you. Because when you go through storms, you get stronger. Right? Because when it's raining hard, you find out where the leaks are. Right? You find out where the leaks are. And now you could strengthen the house. You could fix, make the repairs, patch things up. I didn't know there was a leak there until that storm hit. And when that storm hit, wow! This thing started out as a drip. Next thing you know, it was just coming down, making a mess of the house. Inside. Now you can patch it up. Praise God. Get rid of that. Not have that problem again. Oh, that's good news, isn't it? Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. This is only for those that are interested in running. Those that just want to sit by and waste the time away, living in the flesh, hoping that something might get better. Well, this isn't going to help you very much. But thank God everybody here is getting help this morning. Everybody here is getting help this morning. This is right up our alley. This is the stuff we need this. Yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, that's why we come to this church, right? We don't come to this church to ease a guilty conscience and maybe make ourselves feel better for living in the flesh. Well, I went to church. I live in the flesh, but I went to church today. And that made me feel better about me. Okay. That's not why you're here, right? No, 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 no. You're not here to ease a guilty conscience. You're here to run faster, to lay hold of more, to walk in more of God's perfect plan and purpose for your life. Walk in the fullness of his blessing. How many want to walk in the fullness of his blessing? Yes. Galatians chapter 2, verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, I went up to Jerusalem by revelation and communicated to them, the apostles, that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who are of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. And notice that. You know, you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, he was a runner. Spiritually, he was a runner. I mean, he was not an idle man. When he had his encounter with the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, when that light from heaven struck him and Jesus spoke to him, I mean, he was a changed man and he was changed forever. And he never diminished in spiritual fervor and spiritual strength. He just got more and more and more intense. In fact, he says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you hold your place there, 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter, he says in verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and he was seen by Cephas, then by the twelve disciples. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren. This is talking about after Jesus rose from the dead. He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. They've died. They've gone on to heaven. Verse 7. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. It wasn't a waste. He gave me this grace, and I didn't waste it. He gave me this life, and I didn't waste it. It was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. What do you mean he labored more abundantly than they all? He labored more abundantly than Cephas. He labored more abundantly than the 500 people that Jesus appeared to. He labored more abundantly than James and all the apostles. All the people he just named. He said, all these guys, they got saved before me. And they had a great walk with God. He said, but I've gone further than them all. I've labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. I laid hold of this grace of God to live the God kind of life. And I did not waste it. But I worked it. I utilized it to its fullest potential in my life. Amen. If you go back to chapter 14 in speaking in tongues, he says to the church at Corinth, and they were a tongue-talking bunch of people. When you read this chapter, you see that. He says in verse 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. I speak in tongues more than you all. I speak in tongues more than you all. I labored more abundantly than they all. I mean, this man was intense. Come on, somebody. He was intense. So now back here in Galatians, he said, I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who are reputation, lest by any means I might run or have run in vain. In other words, I don't want to waste my time at what I'm doing. I want to make sure that what I'm doing lasts forever, that it has eternal value. It doesn't end after a short period of time, but it lasts forever. He says, I didn't want my running and the things that I'm doing to be in vain, so therefore I went up by revelation. Revelation. We need revelation to be able to run our race so that it's not in vain. In other words, you need revelation of the plan of God for your life. You need revelation for the purpose of God for your day to day. You need revelation. Don't just make decisions and decide, I'm going to go up here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, without consulting with the Holy Spirit, without looking to him. Well, I don't think I'm going to do that anymore. Well, says who? Well, I just feel like, I don't care what you feel. What's God saying? Is this revelation? People make huge changes to their life, huge changes, and they don't get revelation from God on it. I just can't do it anymore. They do it out of discouragement. They do it out of desperation. They do it out of panic and fear. They make all kinds of decisions in life that they should not be making because they did not hear from God about it. We need revelation. That's how we're going to run. So we need revelation from God to run this race that he has called us to run. There's a couple more things, Lord willing. We'll get to that next time. But just for now, we understand. First of all, we got this vision. We're not living for the flesh. We're not living to just gratify the flesh, but we understand what we're reaching for, what we're pressing towards, what we're running after. Running after more of him to fulfill the plan of God, walk in the fullness of the blessing of God on our life. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to lay aside the weight and the sin. We're going to have endurance, press through trials and tests, keeping our eyes on Jesus. And we're not going to make any major moves in life without revelation from heaven. We're going to listen for God. Thank God we got the Holy Spirit. He's there for a reason. It's to teach you and lead you and guide you in life, in your every movement in life. Can you say amen? Somebody say, I'm running. Hallelujah. Are you ready to pick up the pace? Are you ready to run faster, harder than you've ever run before? Let's do it. Praise God. Stand on your feet with me.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.